very effective Sunday school teacher, would often try to get his students into the Bible. He was a seventh grade teacher, and seventh graders are full of fidgeting around and all those other things. So he would say to the class very often, "Put your name in the verse. Put your name in the verse." And so little Mary read the verse, and they would often do that. And Mary read, "For God so loved Mary that he gave his one and only son, that if Mary would believe in him, she would not perish, but have eternal life." And every time they did that, it seemed like a life-changing time between God and the students there. If we did that with the verse in the front of your bulletin at the top of the page there, and maybe use our guest and longtime friend of the church, John Crier, if John is in Christ, and he is, he has that relationship to Christ. If John is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And if we continue on, all this is from God who reconciled John to himself and gave John the ministry of reconciliation. John is Christ's ambassador. That's what happens to a believer who turns to Christ. I don't know if you watched the news this past week. It seemed like a lot of ambassadors were interviewed on the news. And when things go wrong and things are difficult, people say, "I wonder what the ambassador has to say. What's their take on this? Where's their heart in regards to this trouble that has happened?" And maybe God will do that for you as a follower of His. You know, somebody will come and say, "Life is difficult. I'm in a lot of pain." Or somebody I love is, and could you give me any word of hope or encouragement? God will use you like that. He'll put your name in the verse. And Jesus, who started a good work in you, when you turn to Him, will carry it on to completion. A paraphrase of that new creation verse goes something like this from the Living Bible. If anyone receives Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Friends, believe the good news from God. Jesus Christ makes us new people. I don't know if you feel like, "Boy, I need to become a new person." The old rocker Bruce Springsteen said, one of his songs, I'm tired and bored with myself." Well, that's an honest assessment of life without God. Tired and bored with myself. Or everything could be fresh and new. Your life with God. And God makes a trade if anybody turns to Him. He makes a trade, an exchange. He takes our life, our bad life, gives it to Jesus, and takes Jesus' good life and gives it to us. And that can happen for each of us this morning. Maybe for the first time for some, maybe for a time to surrender to God for others. Our bad life, give it to God. Jesus' good life, give it to us. Let's say you were going to write a true story about your life without God. It's just you, not God, in the story. And the title of the story is "The Life and Times of Joe Sinner." That's a pretty good title. Okay, there you are, full of sin, selfishness, rebellion. If you turn to one chapter, the title of the chapter would be "Filthy Rags." Because if you in that chapter you put all the good things you tried to do, And they didn't work out as well as you thought, and they were kind of broken and messed up, and really they were done for selfish reasons. So the Bible would say that's filthy rags, chapter 1. Chapter 2 would be entitled "Rubbish." Rubbish. That would be your religious life. The Apostle Paul, when he thought about his life of prayer without God, when he thought about his life of going to worship and looking in God's law even, he said, "You know what? Compared to knowing Christ, rubbish." And for some of you, occasionally, your life in terms of faith becomes rubbish. Because perhaps you're doing it for yourself and not out of love for Christ. So it's another chapter title. Jesus would, in Mark chapter 7, talk about what other parts of the life of Joe Sinner would look like. He said it would be evil, full of greed, immorality, envy, malice, deceit, and arrogance. Okay, that's an honest assessment that the Holy Spirit would put His finger on in your life and have you say, yeah, you know what, that's me. That's me without God, the life and times of Joe Sinner. And while you're writing that book, you find another book. And it's the life and times of Jesus Christ. And you start to read that book, the Gospels, written by God the Holy Spirit Himself. And what you see is really incredible. You see people's lives changed. You see the strength of Christ. You see Christ at peace with Himself and with God the Father. You see Christ following God at every step, a life of obedience, and His whole attitude is pretty much whatever God says, that's what I want to do. What an example. Compassion and forgiveness. Chapter after chapter. And you know what God does with your story? He says, take the pages out of your book, those bad pages, and put it in Jesus' book. And take Jesus' pages that are really good and put them in your book. Put them in your book. And that's what God offers us in His Son. The gift of life forever with Christ. No longer the life and times of Joe the sinner. The life and times of Jesus with you. And the Bible tells us this. God took the sinless Christ, poured into Him our sins. Then in exchange, He poured the goodness of God into you. God made Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus becomes our substitute. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a substitution happening right before that. There were two fellows on death row, Jesus and Barabbas. And Pilate, he wanted to let Jesus go, so he said, who should I let go, Jesus, the King of the Jews? And the crowd yelled, no, Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. You know, a lot of times we're like that crowd. Give us myself. You know, I stand up for me. And Pilate said, what should I do with the King of the Jews? And everybody yelled, crucify Him. Crucify Him. And Barabbas, who was guilty and condemned, was set free. And Jesus was killed in his place. You know, each of us, if we say, I am a Christian, we should really almost take the middle name Barabbas. Because we understand, somebody has died in my place. Christ died for me. That's the gospel. He was my substitute. And the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. His body is given for you. His blood is shed for you. Christ died in your place. Taking the goodness of His story, putting it into your story. And there's no story in all of history that's as wonderful as Christ with people. Christ with you. My son, along with a couple others, of course, graduated from high school recently. He asked me, why do we have to take 4 years of history to graduate? It's like, well, you know, is there any purpose in that? So I tried to come up with one. But when you take all the histories and the things that have happened, nobody has ever written the history like Jesus and you. Now that's a great book. That's a true story that can happen in your life. It's mysterious. The hymn writer said it's amazing love. It's the wondrous cross you and I are involved in. And if you looked at all the world religion, you know, even some of the religious stuff you and I do as Christians, maybe with, when our heart's not in it. You can take all the prayers and all the you know, coming to a worship time, you stack them together. They don't match the wondrous cross. What Jesus has done for you. Because that's how you're put right with God. And that alone. That's the gospel. Christ died for you. Look at the other world religions. Buddha died for no one. Muhammad died for no one. Billy Graham died for no one. A.B. Simpson died for no one. Jesus died for all sinners, for each one. Rose from the dead. And what a story that can be. We sing about it in songs. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, This is your song if you're a believer. Send him to die. I scarce can take it in. But on the cross, my burden gladly bearing. You probably have dozens of burdens in your soul. On the cross, my burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin. Another song says, bearing shame and scoffing rude. I was at a public event the other day, and the crowd just, they went, it was almost like a mob. They began to yell at the speaker and hoot and holler, blow air horns while the proceedings were going on. It was incredible. It was rude. Comes from the human heart. And Jesus on the cross sees our own rudeness, bearing shame and scoffing rude. He takes it on himself. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Would you trade in your small life? That's what we have. You know, 100 years or less. Would you trade in your small life, the life and times of Joe Sinner, for the life and times of Jesus with you? Now, that's a story worth living. That's a story worth telling. And he would gladly be your substitute. Would you choose this day Jesus as your substitute in your life? Might we pray together as God's people. Thank you, Lord, at communion and every time we call the name Jesus, we're reminded of the cross, the resurrection, what you mean to us as a living Savior. And it's still amazing, Lord, that you would become our substitute. We are thankful, we are glad, we're excited, and we're humbled. Might we exchange our story, and a pathetic, pitiful one it is, for the story of Jesus with us. A story of blessing and grace, forgiveness, help, hope, and heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. As we take part in communion, give healing to those who hurt physically, encouragement to those hurting emotionally, and hope for those in despair, forgiveness for those who need burdens lifted, the ability to forgive for those caught in bitterness, joy for those caught in their own sense of limitation and pain. And hear our silent prayers as we give thanks for you, Jesus, at communion.